This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mike, did the Steelers screw up passing on Shedeur Sanders three times in the NFL draft?
We will find out, and boy, we'll get to find out with the Steelers having to deal with Shedeur Sanders potentially twice per year if he ends up being the starter. Look, they did what they had to do in light of the reality, and it seems like a fact now that it's going to be Aaron Rodgers of Pittsburgh. When Art Rooney speaks, I don't know that there's a whole lot of wiggle room. So they've got their starter coming for this year, and they've got their guy in Will Howard they're going to develop, and we'll just see where it goes. But yeah, they're going to have to deal with Shedeur very soon if he ends up winning the starting job.
Mike, as the draft unfolded, were you hearing from and or talking and reaching out to people who were expressing surprise that he hadn't been picked as day one ended, as day two ended? Like, what reaction were you getting behind the scenes from any of your league people or just people in the NFL broadly about the slide for Sanders as it was happening in real time?
I was trying to figure out where the floor was. And going into the third day, there was a belief he was going to go in round four. And I knew of one team that was very interested in round four. I think at some point the question becomes, was the interest mutual? And I wouldn't be surprised if there were more than one team that might have wanted to take him but got a vibe that he didn't want to go there. And, you know, you could look at a lot of teams where he would be a valuable backup to an established starter. I don't know that that's where he'd want to go, where, you know, there's a chance for him to go and compete to play. It would make sense. At a certain point, it was just a good value. You have your best available players, and Shedeur Sanders is number one, and the gap is getting bigger and bigger with every pick between Shedeur and everyone else. At some point, it makes sense to say, we'll throw a fourth, a fifth, a sixth on this guy who will be our insurance policy against our established starter. The problem is he doesn't play unless the starter gets injured. So I wouldn't be surprised if he said no to one or more teams through whoever on the third day of the draft. And obviously he wasn't going to say no to the Browns because that's such a place where you look at the other quarterbacks that are on the roster, and Deshaun Watson will not be on the roster this year. He'll be on the physically unable to perform list. You're competing with Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and Dylan Gabriel. Shedeur Sanders probably looks at that and says, I like my odds.
Mike, when we talked last week, it was the day before the draft, and you said it would be an interesting time after all these years for the Steelers to start putting up smoke screens. Everyone said, at the very least, Mike Tomlin likes Shedeur Sanders. That was repeated everywhere. Are we now to believe that Mike Tomlin actually did not like Shedeur Sanders? Is that logical?
No, I think that Mike Tomlin likes Aaron Rodgers better and prefers to not have the potential for a three-ring circus with Aaron Rodgers and Shedeur Sanders in the building. And I think that's what became a problem. After Shedeur Sanders falls past the spot where he's clearly your starter coming in, you get yourself in a situation where I've got a starter and I've got a backup who's going to suck a lot of the oxygen out of the room, who's going to be the focal point of a lot of questions, interviews, comments, etc. Do we want that? And the Steelers apparently didn't like him enough to pivot from this plan of Aaron Rodgers plus Mason Rudolph plus Will Howard this year with no one there to take away from the fact that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the centerpiece of attention. So, you know, at some level, it would have been hard to say no to Shedeur Sanders and you just make it work. But once Art Rooney said what he said, it sure looked like they were going to be grabbing a guy late round developmental, and they weren't going to take Shedeur Sanders in a spot where people would be like, well, I don't know. Maybe they don't want Aaron Rodgers, or maybe, you know, if they struggle this year at some point, maybe we put Shedeur Sanders on the field. I think that's a very real dynamic. Even though it's unlikely the Steelers are going to be out of it come November, December, you don't want to have Aaron Rodgers, possibly final season, out of contention as a practical matter. Hey, we got this other guy. Let's see what he has.
Mike, can you take people through why the discipline, the fines, were what they were for Jeff Ulbrich and the Falcons for the prank call that Jax Ulbrich sent to Shedeur Sanders and how that came about? For people curious why that was adjudicated that way versus any other prank call we've been made aware of in this draft.
Well, I mean, the easy answer is no, because the NFL makes it up as it goes along. But the more accurate answer here is, the team's fingerprints were on this. Ulbrich's fingerprints were on this. The team admitted it at best. And I don't know if the Falcons' statement from Sunday is true. It's possibly the most innocuous way possible they could characterize what happened. Oh, there's an open iPad. Oh, the 21-year-old son of the defensive coordinator sees it and writes down Shedeur Sanders' number and files it away for a prank call to be made later that week. Well, you get punished because you failed to secure confidential information. Now, the league had a role in this, and I've seen some reporting from people who likely got a text or a call or an email from the league with the league's version saying, hey, we sent out that memo with every player's phone number on it, and it's clearly confidential. We can't control what the team does, who they give it to, but if they breach it, they're going to be in trouble. That's not accurate in this case, because I've got both of the communications, because I was curious about this as it happened. One, there's a memo that was sent last Wednesday with the names and phone numbers of the 16 players who were at the draft, the 24 who participated virtually, and 5 international players who were present in Green Bay. All those numbers were on a traditional memo communicated to a fairly small range of people. Then, that same day, an email goes out with a new number for Shedeur Sanders, and they send it to the same distribution list that gets the daily transaction report, the waiver wire, as they call it. Well, that's everyone. That's all the assistant coaches. That's people in the personnel departments. The NFL sent that email to Jeff Ulbrich. This wasn't the Falcons saying, let's see, maybe Jeff Ulbrich needs to know Shedeur Sanders' phone number in the event that we're going to draft him to go along with Michael Penix Jr. Everybody got that. That's how Ulbrich had that. And so if nothing else happens, the NFL needs to revisit its procedures and say, who do we send this to? And you only need to send it to 3 people, owner, GM, coach per team. You could send it to 1 person per team. It's a need-to-know thing, and the NFL needs to go back and button up. And the idea that the Falcons went rogue and for some reason shared this information with Jeff Ulbrich, that is false.
Mike Florio, check him out, profootballtalk.com, PFT Live. Thank you, Mike. We'll talk again next week.
See you guys.